The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Issa
and Rosemary Daisy.
In the headlines, President Mahama cuts short for expansion works at Takrade Harbour. Majority leader in Parliament takes issue with assertions that all politicians are corrupt. Parliament approves 2014 budget and financial policy. Suicide bombers take shoppers hostage in Iraqi mall. And Thailand celebrates 86th birthday of King Bhumibol amid violent political protests. First, a summary by Rosemary Gazy.
President John Dramani Mahama has cut short for expansion works to begin at the Takrade port in the western region. The project has become necessary due to present high trade and economic demands. Parliament yesterday approved the 2014 budget and financial policy of government after a week-long heated debate on the statement. The majority leader, Dr. Benjamin Kombuor, described it as unique because it is the first time in 15 years that the budget statement has moved from activity-based budgeting approach to a program-based one. And gunmen have stormed a mall in Iraq and taken shoppers hostage. Dozens of casualties have been reported. Reports say the police are in search of the remaining hostage takers.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news in detail. The President, John Dramani Mahama, has cut the short for expansion works to begin at Takrade Harbour in the western region. The port of Takrade is the country's first commercial port, opened in 1928 to facilitate Ghana's international trade. The expansion has become necessary in view of pressing trade and economic demands. Western Regional Correspondent Mary Aziz Tunde has filed this report.
The project is expected to be completed in 2016 and financed under a Chinese commercial loan. Phase 1 of the project is estimated to cost 197 million euros, while Phase 2 will cost $196 million. Speaking at the sword-cutting ceremony, President Mahama said the project will augment government efforts to encourage trade and investment. He said the expansion works have become increasingly necessary to facilitate the never-growing market demands.
Assembled here this afternoon is yet another opportunity for government to confirm that by 2016 we will redeem the social contract we signed with Ghanaians as contained in our manifesto of 2012. It was about 80 years ago when the port of Takrade started operation. Today, another generation of Ghanaians have gathered here on these very grounds to cut the sword for the expansion of this significant port. Since 1928, the port of Takrade has facilitated much of Ghana's international trade, serving generations of our people as the main export port for some of our resources like manganese, oxide, cocoa, timber, and other agroforestry products. It has also lately become the preferred port of call for many of our landlocked neighbors. The attendant result is that over the years, the vessel sizes and the operational requests for the Ghana Ports and Harbors Authority have significantly changed. This situation requires yet a radical solution if that's a is to remain competitive in the West African maritime environment.
The Minister of Transport, Jifa Ativo, said the project is a fulfillment of the President's pledge during his first State of the Nation's address.
We are fulfilling our manifesto pledge to our people. We are bringing to fruition the President's State of the Nation address. We are working hard to ensure that Ghanaians enjoy a better Ghana. My prayer that God continues to give you, our President, the wisdom of Solomon, to continue to work to improve the lot of our people so that come 11-2016, your mandate will be renewed.
Minister of Transport, Jifa Ativo, ending that report by Mary Aziz Tunde.
To Parliament now, and the Deputy Minority Leader in Parliament, Dominic Nitiwo, has condemned his colleague MP Katie Hammond for using words that he described as unparliamentary. He says Parliament has a code of conduct and therefore Katie Hammond has been asked to withdraw the words he used. He said this in an interview with Radio Ghana.
If you go to the parliamentary Hansa tomorrow and in 100 years time you go there, you will not see what, or you will not be able to read what Katie Hammond said, because it's all been withdrawn in its entirety. By parliamentary standards, it means that Katie Hammond may not have even made those comments. But it is also true that Parliament has a certain code of ethics and conduct that the members must follow. at a point when you are asked to withdraw some words because they are unparliamentary, then you yourself will know and realize that the words that you use were not words that you should have used. So the question, if you ask me, the words that he used were not words that were unparliamentary, I'll say yes. But
that was Dominic Nitiwo.
Majority Leader in Parliament, Dr. Benjamin Gumkumbo, says it is not right for people to make a general statement that all politicians are corrupt. He said until one is able to specifically point out individual politicians who are corrupt with evidence to back his or her claim, no one is justified in tarnishing the image of political leaders. In reaction to the comments made by the Adansi Asokwa MP KT Hammond in Parliament yesterday, Dr. Kumbuo explained that Mr. Hammond misconstrued his statement. Dr. Kumbuo spoke to Agatha Samoa.
Definitely, because my basic idea is that corrupt practices are perpetuated by human beings who have names and have faith. When we make sweeping statements that every politician is a corrupt person, you are not helping in the fight of corruption. What you should do is that have the courage, and when I say we should lift the bar, have the courage to say Mr. A and Mr. B is corrupt, and this is why I say he's corrupt. Then we take it up from there. I say this because there are a number of people in this country who have served this country with a lot of integrity, who have served this country without compromising their own principles. But when you use the brushstroke on everybody who has occupied the political office, you create a problem. And that's why I think that the debate must now go beyond the generalization. So what is specific? It also gives the opportunity to those who are accused to come out and clear their name, particularly when it's an issue of perception.
Now, Doc, let's come to the drama in Parliament. Were you in any way suggesting that the drillship saga is tainted with corruption? Katie Hammond thought you were trying to accuse him of thievery.
Yeah, my political colleague was not even listening to the submission that I was making. Precisely what I have told you is that I picked it as a highlight. Contributor after contributor, particularly from the minority side, have raised issues of impropriety, they've raised issues of corruption, they've raised issues about so many things. And the issue that came up as far as I'm concerned, I said, well, this is a challenge, and we don't just raise these issues at the level of political rhetoric. Let's walk the talk. And we should start this whole battle in terms of how we ourselves organize ourselves in Parliament. Because the only moral high ground somebody can stand in to accuse another person of corruption is that you yourself, you are above board. Have you not come across publications in which they have even accused some parliamentarians of also being corrupt? So if you are going to stand on the moral high ground, let's start the internal one, raise those issues, address them, and then we can move from there to the wider public.
Majority Leader in Parliament, Dr. Benjamin Kumbuo.
Away from the legislature, a senior policy advisor at the presidency, Dr. Sule Gariba, says government is committed to acting on reports from institutions and issuing requests for management responses from the institutions that have been cited in the report. He said in order to transform the country, there's a need for all institutions to take monitoring and evaluation seriously to improve service delivery. Dr. Gariba said this at the launch of the National Monitoring and Evaluation Manual compiled by the National Development Planning Commission in Accra. Rukiyatu Musa and Abigail Gbemu have more.
The National Development Planning Commission, NDPC, over the years has worked hard in collaboration with its partners to establish a credible and a comprehensive national monitoring and evaluation system. The World Bank, under the International Development Association, IDA grant, provided the initial financial support for the manual in 2007. In June 2012, the Japanese government, through Japan International Cooperation Agency, provided support to NDPC to review and finalize the draft on the National Monitoring and Evaluation Manual. The manual will help in monitoring and evaluating capacity building for policymakers in all levels of governance. A senior policy advisor at the presidency, Dr. Suleiman Gariba, said the manual is a vital instrument that will aid in three significant dimensions.
The demand for devaluation has generally been one done by governments who provide development assistance to us. We have rarely had the opportunity as a country to demand that evidence by ourselves and for ourselves. Then there is the supply that allows those who are in the professional realm to construct the parameters of evidence, collect it, analyze it, and independently make evaluative judgments about the merits and demerits of the evidence that they are holding in their hand. And then the third dimension is the use or the utilization of this evidence to actually make or reform policy.
A Deputy Minister of Finance, Kweku Rikitz-Hagan, said monitoring and evaluation provide the framework for the pursuit of policy, programs and projects effectiveness. He highlighted some of the challenges of monitoring and evaluation.
While it is fairly simple to measure what goes into a project or a program, such as funds and staff time, it can be difficult to determine exactly what impact a project or a program has had on the social and economic well-being of our people. Another key constraint is the lack of continuous flow of timely, reliable, accurate, and relevant information that will be used to hold institutions accountable for the resources they use.
The country director for World Bank, Yusifa Crooks, said monitoring and evaluation is paramount in the quest to improve service delivery.
That was a report by Rukia Tumusa and Abigail Bemu.
Parliament has approved the 2014 budget and financial policy of government after 1 week heated debate on the statement. The last day of the debate was characterized by tense exchanges when the leadership of both sides of the House contributed to the debate. The minority leader, Osechi Mensabuzu, spoke about the creation of the Ghana Infrastructure Fund and said the minority's verdict on the budget is that it is incapable of any transformation.
In the era of the declaration of economic transformation, I would have expected to see bold measures to enhance private sector development. The president must rev up the engine by releasing the gear and lifting his big foot from the accelerator pedal. Otherwise, he will burn the clutch of the nation. The establishment of the infrastructure fund is a new initiative contained in the budget. And the face of it, it is laudable. It fits into the position that the minority have canvassed on the application of our oil revenue. Unfortunately, Mr. Speaker, the creation of the fund is not accompanied by any national plan. So the provision is incoherent, it's inconsistent, there's no prioritization, no idea of fiscal cost to the country. Mr. Speaker, are we going to witness that the economy is resilient, amidst the multiplicity of challenges confronting the nation? And the verdict from this side of the House is that the budget is incapable of any transformation. Mr. Speaker, it is a phantasm, it is illusory, it is a menopausal budget.
The majority leader, Dr. Benjamin Kumbuo, said what makes the budget unique is that it is the first time in 15 years that it has moved from activity-based budgeting approach to a program-based one. Under this, he said the focus will shift from input and activities to service delivery and result.
If we are attempting to look at a program-based budget in which we intend to see very, very specific programs in the financial policy, we certainly are not keeping pace with what exactly the financial policy statement has said a program-based budget. What is transformational or transformative about this budget? The context is clear. You see, there is a difference between transforming an economy and an approach that is transformational of a budget. And yet, because people have confused the structural transformation of an economy with that of a budget, you can see that the debate was running in all sorts of directions. Let's go back and get a clearer idea of what is the sudden and complete change in this budgetary approach which makes it transformational. This is the context in which the word has actually been used. I have heard various allusions in terms of good governance to corruption. And I was particularly happy that honorable members withdrew the challenge that corruption is a social cancer in this country and ought to be engaged. People have raised all sorts of issues in relation to corruption as a one-way traffic. And that's why I want honorable members to let us take up this challenge. Because I have always known the advocates of change. change. Most people who have advocated change have never wanted to change their own institution. And so I want this anti-corruption crusade, the charity, to start at home.
The Minister of Finance, Tekle, rounding up the debate, said the transformational nature of the budget lies in the fact that there is the establishment of the Infrastructure Fund and other packages that will help propel the development of the country. He said the country is looking at a debt servicing account and taking steps to ensure that development projects are capable of servicing loans contracted to set them up.
Another point that is transformational in this budget is that we have a number of projects which qualify to be included in the GSGD. The speaker, indeed, many of the projects we are implementing now are from the GSGD 1. And therefore, to the extent that they are not yet completed and they are pipelines, we have every justification, Mr. Speaker, to anticipate them in the budget and to link them to the preparation that is being done for the GSGD 2. The figure examples include the oil infrastructure project, the proposed irrigation project, Mr. Speaker, and several more.
Minister of Finance, Tekle, speaking on the floor of Parliament at the end of the debate on the 2014 budget. Following approval of the budget, the House will now begin approval of the estimates for the various sectors of the economy in the appropriation bill. This news comes to you from Uganda, Accra. The major stories: President Mahama cuts short for expansion works at Takrade Harbour. Majority leader in Parliament takes issue with assertions that all politicians are corrupt. Parliament approves 2014 budget and financial policy. Suicide bombers take shoppers hostage in Iraqi mall. And Thailand celebrates 86th birthday of King Bhumibol amid violent political protests. Do stay tuned.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
Welcome back. A national stakeholders conference has been organized in Accra to review the winner-takes-all system in governance. IBIS Ghana is calling for an alternative political system to be initiated for the country's political future. The policy has been a major topic for discussion, especially after the 2012 presidential election. Addressing participants at the conference, a lecturer at the Political Science Department of the University of Ghana, Kwesi Jonah, said the system will enable political parties to work together for development. He added that the foundation of Ghana's political system has a historic background. Samuel Bano and Sylvia Japasu have filed this report.
Ghana has gained international recognition for its achievements and promotion of democratic governance. After the 2012 elections, further discussions have taken place to address the nature of the weakness of the political system. To achieve this target of including losing parties in national reconciliation and development, it is Ghana engaged a variety of stakeholders to review the winner-takes-all system. Mr. Jonah said politicians must engage each other in dialogue and idea sharing for development. He said it is the economy that suffers when power is concentrated in the two major political parties who do not collaborate in the interests of the nation.
The time has come for the two main parties to realize that continuing with the winner-takes-all system will not help the country. It has major negative effects on the politics and the economy of this country. So I think the time has come for them to get together, form the government together in order to move the nation forward. It is not easy for two different parties, each with its own identity, each with its own philosophy, each with its own support to work together. Because it is not easy, it is important for each of these two parties to make the effort in the national interest.
Chairman of the National Peace Council, Reverend Professor Emmanuel Asante, called for inter-party consultations to move the nation forward. He tagged the two major political parties to share ideas in the interests of the country.
Policies of inclusion should not be defined in terms of UNIGOV, as people might think. It is not saying that collapse your partisan identity and just come together as if you do not exist. But it simply means that you have ideas, other people have ideas. Let us meet together to discuss and come up. So policies of inclusion is policies of consensus.
Reverend Professor Asante also called for a collaborative effort by Ghanaians for a common agenda to be achieved for development.
Samuel Bano and Sylvia Japasu's report.
Workers of the Volta Lake Transport Company are worried over the non-payment of this man's salary and the use of one engine on the vessel in transporting goods and persons. Our Volta regional correspondent Mike Tulevo reports that the workers are currently on a sit-down strike but are refusing to talk to the media due to fear of victimization by management.
Volta Lake Transport Company quickly returned the ferry Freedom and Justice that they took away for more than a month. But it's unfortunate that this ferry was returned on single engines. So this has just added to the chains of ferries that Volta Lake Transport are operating on single engine. As of now, the Indora Japa Adamba is on one engine. The Nana Besemuna at Yiji is also on one engine. And this Freedom and Justice that is brought to the crisis is also on one engine. Listen to the Volta Queen that travel for a very long distance, it's on one engine. So we are wondering what is happening to the new engines that were procured and are still being kept at Akosombo.
How many were these engines that were procured?
They procured 8 new engines from South Africa.
When?
It's more than 2 years now since I got to duty post at the crisis. These engines were there before.
Have you got in touch with the authorities to find out why they are keeping these engines?
Though these engines were procured before Seyabo took over administration, so the engines are there but they don't have the operational part that will enable them to use the engines. So they tried to install only one on Yafi Queen, and that one alone cost them over 60 million. So for that matter, the procurement that was done by the Ministry of Transport is inconclusive, so they cannot spend much to go and install the operational part of the engine. So it's being kept there either.
So the workers now, what is their state?
Most are working, but today the concrete point that I had is that their November salaries were not paid. So they are on sit-down strikes at the head office at Akosombo. And what is making the matters worse is the tight lips, no comment attitude of the Yabo administration. So nobody is getting information. Everybody is in the dark as to the inside story of the Volta Lake Transport Company.
With this information, were you able to get in touch with the authorities since the workers are not prepared to talk?
The workers themselves, I can guarantee that they are giving the background information, but it's management that is not willing to explain their part as to why they are maltreating the operational workers in this manner. All these engines, I can recall the Indora Japa at Dambai, when it became critical, they were able to procure home use engine and store in it, but that's only one. And upon resume of duty, Yabo assured me that he will soon double all the engines. But now, all this are not being done, and they are no more willing to talk to explain why they are not doing anything to help the operations of the Volta Lake Transport Company, especially in view of the water bath system that will soon be operational under them.
Finally, you did mention that some of the workers who they talked to, what were actually their complaints since they were not prepared to talk to the media?
Their complaints, especially the white administration, they were of the view that previously led administration by the white man was far better. They are able to meet their operational needs and being paid on time, so they also were motivated to work. But as of now, even you come out to talk more, you are being targeted to victimize. So as of now, even the union chairman was forced to go on leave because he has even spoken on air last time. So they are very timid in their comments, but their worry is their leadership. That if the leadership could have adopted a good management strategy, they could have done better because they are still viable. But their problem is their leadership, what is going in there that they don't know. They bring the money, but they don't know where the money goes to.
You heard Volta regional correspondent, Mike Tulevo.
The director of public relations of the Ghana Armed Forces, Colonel Imbawini Atentande, says no mining company in Ghana has the right to go to any commanding military official to request for security personnel to protect its concessions. He said every company has to pass through the appropriate channel, which is the National Security Secretariat, to put in that request. Colonel Atentande was reacting to reports that some security personnel had been taken off their post of protecting some mining concessions.
Government, a few days ago, asked the task force set up to protect mining areas from illegal miners to withdraw from the mining areas. According to Lands and Forestry Minister Aladdin Safusini, the work of the task force has ended and has asked the municipal and district assemblies to take over security in these areas. But some mining groups and NGOs, including the Ghana Mine Workers Union of the TUC, are kicking against what they say is a unilateral decision, describing it as untimely and counterproductive. However, the chief executive officer of WACAM, and also granting an organization that protects the well-being of these mining communities affected by illegal mining, has welcomed government's decision to withdraw security task force from these mining communities.
Also, the inequality in society, be it mining, be it robbery, be it drugs. It is the sole responsibility of the state to do that. That's why nobody can take away from that. But it doesn't mean that in trying to protect the state, you mean others. For instance, farmers in Tegedi were going to their farm one morning. They were farmers, only to be waylaid, and then some of them were shot. Some of them are men, as you see today. Some reports came out from Obuasi and Newmont and other places where community people in their communities were hit or killed one way or the other. So you don't have to replace one illegality with the other. And if you want investment in communities, we shouldn't also forget that people in community are already engaged in some form of investment, agriculture. So the moment you displace one investment for the other, you create a condition where people will engage in illegality. So the solution is not to permanently post military personnel in communities. In fact, any investment that will thrive on those form of activities is not a good investment.
The Chief Executive Officer of WACAM, Hannah Usukrante.
In foreign news, gunmen, some of them wearing suicide vests, have stormed in a mall in Iraqi and taken shoppers hostage. They moved up the five-story complex to the roof from where they opened fire on security personnel before Iraqi forces were able to take control of the situation. Dozens of casualties have been reported, but exact figures are not clear. The local governor said the police are searching for the remaining hostage takers.
The U.S. and China have had talks about concerns over China's new air defense identification zone. Speaking after meeting with Chinese leader Xi Jinping, U.S. Vice President Joe Biden said the zone had caused apprehension in Asia. Talks in Mr. Biden's Asia trip have been dominated by a new air zone declared by China, which covers islands controlled by Japan in the East China Sea. China says its move is consistent with international law and practice. China announced a new air defense identification zone last month and said aircraft flying through the zone must follow its rules, including filing flight plans.
Elsewhere, Thailand is marking the 86th birthday of King Bhumibol amid a truce after days of violent demonstrations in the capital, Bangkok. People have been cleaning the streets in the capital ahead of festivities, while hundreds are lining the streets near one of the king's palaces. The king traditionally delivers a speech to the nation on his birthday, and it will be scrutinized to see if he makes any reference to the political crisis.
So in the news, the main points again. President John Dramani Mahama has cut foot for expansion works to begin at the Tapale port in the western region. The project has become necessary due to present high trade and economic demands. Parliament yesterday approved the 2014 budget and financial policy of government after a week-long heated debate on the statement. The majority leader, Dr. Benjamin Kumbua, described it as unique because it is the first time in 15 years that a budget statement has moved from activity-based budgeting approach to a program-based one. And gunmen have stormed a mall in Iraq and taken shoppers hostage. Dozens of casualties have been reported. The news was presented by Samuel Essa
and Rosemary Gazy in Accra.